relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
He's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What? Excuse me? The most senior Democrat in the Senate? Is that a threat against the man who's elected by 64 million Americans? That the intelligence communities? The unelected bureaucrats at Langley, at the FBI, at NSA, they're going to, quote, come after the elected chief executive? They said the quiet part out loud, and that is what we have been witnessing from before he became president, as we now know with Operation Crossfire Hurricane, all the way through his presidency, after his presidency, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and it continues apace. Sadly, what perfect timing for the release of a new book called Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. And I'm delighted to have to discuss it none other than my friend and the author, J. Michael Waller. Michael, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Seb, it's so happy to be back with you.
Well, it has been too long, and I'm super excited that my publisher, Regnery, that published all of my books, has taken upon itself to publish a very, very timely work. Let's start, before we get it, and you are immensely qualified to talk about this. You were a troublemaker for the good guys during the Cold War when the CIA were the good guys. We'll talk about your credentials in a second, but let's start with the ironic meta-narrative, if I may. The left, the Democrats, the ilk of Schumer, in the 1960s and the 70s and the 80s, they hated Spooksville. The FBI was the man. The CIA were toppling Democrat, well, socialist regimes across the world, and they hated the intelligence complex of America. Isn't it a bit strange, Mike, that the likes of you, me, President Trump, we are the people who are anti the establishment today because they've ridden roughshod over the Constitution, and that the Democrats are suddenly huge boosters for the Hoover Building and Langley. Does that bring a wry smile to your face?
Well, it's really weird. I don't know what expression to have on this, because here, these people opposed the FBI and the CIA when the intelligence community was going after communists around the world.
Yeah.
They only support it now because they've done the long march through the institutions and have taken them over.
Let's for those who aren't familiar with that, let's explain where the phrase "long march through the institutions" comes from, and who uses it to what effect.
It's a generations long march. These people are revolutionaries who spend their entire lives in what was a hat tip to Mao Zedong with his long march to take over power in China, to take over institutions one by one. Journalism, universities, religious organizations, Hollywood, you name it, and finally the government institutions. And so they are completing their long march now through the American intelligence community. So it's no surprise then that the Schumers and the Hillary Clintons and the Barack Obamas of the world will be supporting them.
There's an we have America First gear on our website, and when I came up with this idea for a mug about how the FBI has become Biden's Gestapo, and then my friend Chris Plant came up, I think through a listener, with the idea of a T-shirt that says FBI Fascist Bureau of Intimidation, there were members on my team who said, oh, Seb, That's too extreme. That's hyperbolic. It became the number one item on our website. You are a maven of the Cold War. You were fighting communists in Latin America for the good guys during the Cold War. Is it hyperbolic? Is it an exaggeration today, Michael, to say that the FBI, the intelligence community, is acting like a police state in America?
Before sitting down to write Big Intel, I would have thought it was an over-the-top kind of statement. But going through everything, talking to people still on the inside, talking to some of the suspendables and others who are out, and just digging deep, they have been set up to become a political police.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And can you identify, because you go back in time and you talk about something that isn't well known. I was familiar with it, sadly, that we had, for example, massive Soviet penetration of the proto-CIA, the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, during World War II. We can talk about that in a second. But this switch of the modern IC elements, intelligence community elements, like the FBI or the CIA, from not fighting communism, but being run by former communists like John Brennan. Is there a moment in time where you say, okay, they were doing good things here, but the next year or the next decade, they started attacking Americans because they were patriots? Is there a liminal moment?
It came after 9/11, and it was gradual, and the CIA went down first, but then the FBI did with the whole intelligence community. And our intelligence community set up various different agencies, now 17 or 18, depending on how you count them. And they were designed to be separate so they could never abuse our political or constitutional system. But when, right after 9/11, George W. Bush turned to his brand new FBI director, Robert Mueller, and said, make sure there's never a terrorist attack in our country ever again. Protect our people against another terrorist attack. That was a huge order for the FBI, which wasn't set up to do this. And then you had the Department of Homeland Security set up, and then you had the Office of the Director of National Intelligence set up to coordinate all these agencies and run it from the top, along with laws like the Patriot Act and other laws to empower all of this. And it was all set up perfectly for somebody, an ideologue like Barack Obama, to come and to change it from the top, which is precisely what happened when he put Brennan and James Clapper in charge.
Let's explain, because this is a fine point in history, why this ostensibly reasonable order from the then president at Camp David right after 9/11 to Robert Mueller, telling the then director of the FBI that you are not to investigate crimes, but you are to prevent the next 9/11. Why that fundamentally, at a gene code level, changes the identity of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to such an extent that after 9/11, the last two letters of an email at the FBI wasn't FBI.gov, but FBI.gov.IC, meaning intelligence community, not cops, but intelligence community. Can you explain why that functional demand was a holistic change of identity?
It was a complete change of the FBI's identity from the nation's premier law enforcement and criminal investigation and counter-spy agency to become a domestic intelligence agency with police powers like we've never had in our history.
And then the ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, putting another layer above the existing 16 intelligence agencies. How does that compound the problem?
Because now it's all coordinated. You no longer have the firewall between law enforcement and spying and domestic intelligence now that's been revived and foreign spying. So it gets to the point now where the law doesn't allow the CIA to spy on American citizens, and it doesn't allow the FBI to do it either without certain strict provisions. And then we had the FISA law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that notorious 702 that even Congress realized was so dangerous that the law was supposed to expire after a few years after 9/11. Instead, Congress kept renewing it. So you had the FBI now lying to the special judges in the FISA courts to get warrants, and then the judges not even caring about the real evidence. It became routine for them to grant it. But you also had the American intelligence community asking foreign spy agencies to spy on our citizens.
We'll get to that. We're going to talk about what happened to members of the Trump campaign and Trump administration. We're talking to the author of the brand new book, Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. Follow him on Twitter at J. Michael Waller and his Substack, bigintel.substack.com. If you enjoy this show, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast platform of your choice and my show, America First. It's free. Never miss an episode. We do the deep dive long form that is so rare today on national radio. Leave us a 5-star review, share the links with your friends, and if you have if you want to do something really fun this July 4th, join us for our Patriots Alaska cruise, especially to those listeners who missed our trip to Israel a year ago. We're going a little bit closer to home, June 29th to July 6th, to the most beautiful state of the Union on a luxury 5-star liner. Join us, hang out with hundreds of your fellow Patriots as we plot to grasp back the Republic from those who are trying to destroy it as we speak. Check out the itinerary at sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R. sebgorka.com and book your cabin today. 300 already sold. Don't be late. It's going to be superb. Greetings. This is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. Dear friends, we are almost at the end of our month-long campaign for the Alliance Defending Freedom. This is a crucial, crucial organization. So rare to have the ability to fight for patriots who are having their crucial civil rights ripped out of their life. Why? Because they speak the truth. Remember the story I told you about Liam, 12-year-old Liam Morrison in Massachusetts, who went to school with a T-shirt that simply bore the phrase, "There are only two genders." He was punished by his school. What would you do if you're in that situation? Would you have the wherewithal, the finances to fight the local authorities that are just denying you your First Amendment and your children's religious rights? Alliance Defending Freedom is there for us. They don't charge their clients a penny. Whether you're Jack the Cake Baker, whether you're Liam from Massachusetts, they fight for you all the way to the Supreme Court. But they need your support. Please make a gift today. It is, of course, tax deductible. You can call them on 855-374-4767 or go to my website and click on the Stand with the Alliance Defending Freedom banner today. That number, 855-374-4767. These are our rights. And the ADF is fighting for you. And next time, it could actually be you or one of your loved ones. Go to SEBGORKA.com and the Stand with ADF banner at the top. Please be generous. God bless every single one of you. So let's talk about the what you just mentioned, Michael, that just the sheer idea, we have constitutional rights. We have the need for warrants. You can't have, you know, search and seizure. You can't just break into somebody's house, take their property, charge them with a crime where there is no evidence. You can't surveil them unless there's a predicate to surveil them. And then what did we witness? Walk us through what we witnessed under the Obama and then Trump administrations, as we had the FBI, we had John Brennan circumvent the Constitution by doing what? Leveraging our foreign allies, correct?
Correct. We asked our foreign allies' spy agencies to spy on our own citizens because it was illegal for our own agencies to do that. But it is legal for foreign spies to do it and then pass that information on as what they call intelligence sharing. So that's how they circumvented federal law. They basically violated federal law for political purposes. And if you think, Seb, they used a counter-spy predicate, a counterintelligence predicate. So if you look at the recent history of the FBI, the only real big counterintelligence operation that they've run in the past decade that we know about was Crossfire Hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put that into a bit of a perspective, a Cold War perspective. During the Cold War, there was a real need for counterintelligence because we had Soviet agents and, you know, intelligence officers running around America. Then we had, you know, North Koreans. Then we had, you know, jihadis. Having spoken to intelligence professionals of yore, after the end of the Cold War, it's as if the CI, the counterintelligence function, withered on the vine. We didn't really do it at all for about 20 years. And when we started doing it, we did something that had never been done before, a tri-agency counterintelligence operation called Crossfire Hurricane with the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. But this time, Michael, the predicate was you were working for Donald Trump, and that is why you were a target.
Mm-hmm. Because you're a Russian spy. This whole fake collusion narrative was based out of the Hillary Clinton campaign. And the FBI knows, don't accept stuff from a political campaign because they're just going to get you to run around in circles. But they took this lies from the Clinton campaign. They had a British, former British intelligence officer as a main source.
A guy who in a court in London admitted that he absolutely detests Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look back at his history, before he went into British intelligence, he was working with the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament in the UK, which was working with the Soviet front organizations to destroy NATO in the United States. So this is the guy, Christopher Steele. And then they had a Russian asset who the FBI, as the Durham report found out, believed all along that he was still working for Putin. And they call this a counterintelligence investigation, and they tore the country apart over it.
And then this is the narrative that is still being peddled by the mainstream media today. So, you know, we have to say this isn't just the corruption of the intelligence community. And I don't even think the phrase from the Cold War, useful idiots, applies here, because these are open and willing accomplices, Michael.
Yeah, they would be called trusted contacts or controlled assets, if not worse.
And when you look at this, how much is describable as a perversion from the top and key actors vice something which is permeated culturally through every level of these organizations?
Yeah, you have both. The bureaucrats are going to do what they're instructed to do and what they're allowed to do, for better or for worse. So it's a leadership problem. But when you have the head of counterintelligence as Peter Strzok,
yeah,
and the number two in the FBI, McCabe, came out of that same counterintelligence stack. And who are the most famous counterintelligence officers of our generation? Right? It's Robert Hansen and Peter Strzok. So you can see how, and now McGonigal, who is head of counterintelligence out of the New York field office.
Give people context who aren't experts. So remind people who Hansen is and who McGonigal is.
Well, Robert Hansen was a long-term career and politically conservative FBI agent who specialized in tracking the Soviets and the KGB. And it turns out he was one of those all along.
Yeah, he was working for the successor to the KGB, who was working for the SVR.
Right. Yeah, and previously he was working directly for the KGB, and he volunteered. So he didn't even have to be blackmailed to do it. So it's not even a political bias issue. This was a conservative Catholic man who had a big family
and a big ego.
Was a cold warrior. He got his kicks off. That's why he really spied. He wanted to get his kicks off outsmarting everybody else.
And McGonigal, remind people who haven't followed news lately, who's McGonigal?
So he was head of counterintelligence in the New York field office. Now, the New York field office of the FBI is the biggest field office of the Bureau. The Bureau has 56 of them around the U.S. and American territories. New York field office is colossal, and they have a big counterintelligence unit there because of the United Nations and the international banking community and elsewhere, where it's a huge nest of foreign spies in New York. So it's one of the most important counterintelligence jobs in the whole FBI. And so McGonigal got caught after retiring going to work for some Albanian businessmen. So they busted him for corruption. Now, I don't believe for a second he was just selling out to Albanian businessmen. Right. I suspect this was a counterintelligence crime that he had turned traitor and was working for the Russians or the Chinese with the Albanians as a cutout. There's no proof of that yet because the FBI doesn't want to pursue this as a counterintelligence problem, because the biggest crime you can commit as an FBI agent is to embarrass the Bureau.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about protecting the institution, not the Constitution. Ooh, that's a good title for an article. The website is bigintel.substack.com. The book is Big Intel by our one-on-one guest, J. Michael Waller, on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Give us a follow as well. We are everywhere that matters. Look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on all the usual platforms. Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us on your Roku, your Fire Stick, your Samsung Plus device, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And don't forget, my unique content, a brand new article up today. It is my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name as one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. And if you enjoy the one-on-one, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. And if you want to have safety and prosperity back and national security and a border, you know what to do. Fly the flag that tells the world who you are. I stand with 45 at sebgorkastore.com. I think our most important t-shirt to date is just a photograph of a beautiful young woman who is no longer with us. And it says, say her name, Laken Riley. Get yours today and all of my books at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. And please support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. That's donaldjtrump.com. How do you feel? I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month from hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and vegetables over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them on 800-246-8751 and use discount code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off. If you enjoy America First as much as we love making it for you, then you should buy American. Don't buy any of that Chinese garbage on Amazon. Support American companies like Mike Lindell's MyPillow. Yes, he is the inventor of the only pillow that doesn't get hot, doesn't lose shape. He sold 81 million of them. because they are that good. But are you aware he's got hundreds of other items on his website made by Americans in America for you? Buy from MyPillow.com. Use my name. Get up to 66% off and free shipping. You won't get that offer anywhere else. And it's not just items for you. It's items for your four-legged friends, like my new canine, Titus, who stole his MyPillow pet bed from Killian. Why? Because it's just so comfy. MyPillow.com or call up a human being. How refreshing. 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. But to get the massive discounts at MyPillow.com, you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. All right, a little bit reverse order, but I wanted to dive straight into the book and the state of the nation. What are your qualifications to write Big Intel, Michael Waller? And what were you doing during the Cold War, you troublemaker?
Well, the first qualification was I had been a communist dupe. When I was a teenager, I got involved in the anti-nuclear movement, got all riled up about, a nuclear power plant being built in my state. And then they chose me as a high school kid who showed some leadership potential, and some people from California came out to train us and put me through what I later learned was a struggle session. And when they were ripping me apart about why I wanted to join the anti-nuclear movement, I said, because I care about the environment and I'm scared. They said, kid, this is all about overthrowing American capitalism.
Wow.
So I was a dupe for just a couple of months. But from that point, I thought, I'm going to fight these guys. I'm going to expose them. And I basically have spent most of the rest of my life doing that. So that led to going to college in Washington, D.C., right when Ronald Reagan was elected, freshman year, and getting involved through networking with people, working on Capitol Hill, and getting to meet members of Reagan's national security team through their outreach to youth political leaders, Young Americans for Freedom, that I got to be connected into a private network that was being set up by CIA Director Bill Casey, who was a close friend of President Reagan. He served in the Office of Strategic Services during World War II. It was his plan to parachute troops into Germany to make way for the D-Day invasion to come up through to be able to invade Berlin by land. And so that was Bill Casey's operation way back when.
And so then what charge were you given by this covert organization during the Cold War?
It was that to go down to Central America, where I was going anyway as a student journalist with the Contras in Nicaragua, to overthrow the communist government of Daniel Ortega, and to bring back evidence of Soviet material support for communist revolutionaries on our southern border.
And what did you find there in terms of the Soviets actually being involved in our hemisphere in destabilizing governments?
So documentation that was captured from dead or captured communist guerrillas in El Salvador. I got to work my way through the Salvadoran military, and sometimes they didn't like what the U.S. was doing, so they would withhold information. Photographic evidence of Soviet bloc weaponry, including M-16s, American M-16s, that we had left behind in Vietnam. So this was proof that the communist Vietnamese had saved the weapons we left behind and were sending them to revolutionary movements abroad. And then actual pieces of Soviet weapons, Katyusha rocket sections and so forth that has Cyrillic markings on it, gas masks, other stuff to ammunition boxes, to bring it up and actually put it on the floor of the House of Representatives to show and to defeat what the liberals were saying at the time, that there was no Soviet involvement in the region. And this is evidence to show that it was. And then later on, a few years later on, separately, to infiltrate Soviet international front organizations and disrupt them.
Were we good at intelligence and counterintelligence when you were involved, Mike?
If we were, they wouldn't have needed people like me. I didn't know anything. I was an undergraduate. I was just somebody there on the outside. I didn't know what I wasn't supposed to do, so I just went ahead and did stuff. And so I was adventuring at the time, a student journalist at the time. But Casey reached out, as Bill Donovan did with the OSS during World War II, to find amateurs who could do these things, because there were few professionals out there to do it.
Yeah, it's
now
very...
Casey had an issue where he was trying to show, as journalists had shown, Soviet support for international terrorism, and the CIA couldn't produce any information that the Soviets were behind it.
Yeah, that's such a good point, that if the CIA were as good as they needed to be for the, you know, mission at hand, why would they have to reach out to undergraduates to get the evidence from El Salvador of what's really going on? We're talking to Michael Waller. You can follow him on Twitter at @jmichaelwaller. He's the author of the brand new book, Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, it's real. It works. How do I know that? Because I've been taking it for more than 5 years now, and it has liberated me from my low back pain. But it's not just Dr. G. It's also people like Alicia from California. Just listen to her story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees did not get a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain decreased substantially. I am so thankful for this amazing product. That should be your story. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. Like it works for me, Alicia, and over a million of your fellow Americans. Write the number down, 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. Mike, in your book, you talk about the OSS, which, you know, is exciting in its pre-CIA gene code and what it did during the Cold War. But very few are aware of how a bad example it is of counterintelligence probity. Before we move back to the issues of today, why is, to use the vernacular of the left, why is the OSS problematic as a good example of intelligence organization?
Well, first, it was really good at fighting the Nazis and the other Axis powers, and to that extent. But when we have any country has an intelligence service, the people of that country should have the intelligence service work for them and not for other countries.
Right.
So it was the British who helped us stand up the OSS because we didn't have a foreign intelligence service. And they had different objectives from ours, but they were 98% the same, so that was all right. But the problem was the British intelligence officers who helped us set up the OSS were double agents for Stalin.
Yeah.
Kim Philby being one of them, the most famous one. Another one who's not so famous, Dickie Ellis, who was the number two at the British Embassy in Washington, the main liaison to the OSS. He was a double agent for Stalin. So you literally had Soviet agents helping us stand up the OSS, and then dozens, if not well over 100, Soviet agents, Communist Party members, and actual Soviet intelligence officers infiltrate the OSS, especially to show how we should be thinking about the war. Their objective was to make sure that World War II was won on Stalin's terms,
right,
and not on America's terms.
Kim Philby, one of the Cambridge apostles recruited by KGB, and the man who actually betrayed my father and resulted in him getting a life sentence in a Hungarian communist prison in 1950. Can we zoom to the current day? There is this accusation that I find reasonable, that the concepts of diversity, equity, and inclusion, critical race theory, or just political correctness writ large, are just a repackaging of communist ideas and communist forms of censorship. Can you talk, in your book you go into some detail, but explain what DEI, CRT, and these modern concepts, how they have affected the American intelligence community?
Yeah. So DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, is a manifestation of what's called critical theory, which is a Marxist concept based on Karl Marx's first writings from before he even wrote the Communist Manifesto. And that's to relentlessly attack everything in Western society, culture, all traditions of every kind, church, family, everything, and destroy it. This is an instrument of revolutionary destruction. The Bolsheviks revived it after they won in 1917 to spread across Europe and ultimately to the United States. And this became what's known as critical theory. It started in a 1922 meeting in Moscow with the Communist International leaders. These were the heads of the communist parties all around the world under Soviet control. And we learned this from the former head of the German Communist Party, Ruth Fischer. And the head of the founder of what became the KGB, Felix Dzerzhinsky, was there. So this was a Soviet intelligence operation begun in 1922 to get the West to destroy itself.
Yeah.
Critical theory emerged from that. Critical race theory was a refinement of that. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are critical race theory. So this has permeated, as we said before, when Obama centralized, when George W. Bush centralized the intelligence community for altruistic reasons, and then Obama politicized that by imposing radicals on the top to push critical race theory down through every fiber of the intelligence community. And then if you go to FBI jobs on X or look at the CIA or the National Security Agency's recruitment, they're only looking for woke radicals who subscribe to DEI and critical theory.
But it's worse than that. It's when they actually have the CIA and the FBI have social media postings, recruitment videos of transgender things, men that think they're not men, and a black woman who in a recruiting video for the CIA brags about her mental problems and how her working in the CIA with mental problems is somehow a good thing in terms of diversity. I mean, if you are openly homosexual, like to dress up in women's clothing as a man, or had, you know, visual and problematic everyday occurrences of mental issues, these were things that would rule you out from being a officer in the intelligence community, and on the flip side were the kinds of attributes we would look for people we would target as assets in enemy countries, correct?
Correct. Yeah. There was a time when the FBI specifically recruited observant Catholics and Mormons as special agents because J. Edgar Hoover, who was a Presbyterian and a Freemason, believed that they had the most solidly formed conscience of any Americans. Now you have the opposite. If you're a traditional Catholic now, you're considered a security threat.
Yeah, if you wanted a really good chance to become a G-man, and this is not, I mean, you can look this up as a cultural artifact.
So can't say G-man anymore. It's sexist and gender.
G-thing, to be a G-thing, to be a G-string. If you wanted a good chance, you got to be a Mormon or a former Marine or both. If you're a former Marine Mormon, you might as well walk straight into Quantico to the academy. And now what do we have? And we're laughing at it, but we shouldn't. We have congressional testimony of how traditional Catholics in Virginia are being targeted by the FBI's field office in Richmond because they are deemed to be a domestic threat because they are traditional Catholics. That is the reality of the situation. We're talking to the author of Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains, Michael Waller. Follow him on Twitter at jmichaelwaller and on his Substack at bigintel.substack.com. You're listening to America First One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka. Or is it Dr. G Mark II? What does that mean? It means I'm a former shadow of myself. Why? Because thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at My PhD Weight Loss, in just a few months, I lost 42 pounds. My wife, Katie, lost 36. Together, that's a Lauren Boebert. That's insane. Now, Dennis Prager is on the program. Mr. G, our producer as well. No scary injections, no pills to pop. Just 5 meals a day that help you burn the fat. I'm down to a size 36 in my blue jeans. I haven't been that since I was in my 20s, and it feels just great. Find out for yourself. See all the before and after pictures at myphdweightloss.com. Mine will shock you. Or call Dr. Lucas's team on 864-644-1900. That's myphdweightloss.com, 864-644-1900. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. That, of course, passed far, far too quickly. We've only got a few minutes left. Everybody needs to get the book, Big Intel, but let's end on the most important question of all. Can we fix it? Dan Bongino is a good friend of mine, former Secret Service agent. You know the Suspendables, all those great heroes, Carl Serafin, Steve Friend, all the rest of them. I've come to the conclusion as somebody, and this, you know, pains me to say it, who trained thousands of FBI agents and intelligence analysts and SOS support staff, that that entity is unsalvageable. When you have the events after J6 of people being politically persecuted, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the Mark Hauck raid, there should have been, you know, half of the FBI should have stood up and said, here's my badge, here's my gun, I'm not the Gestapo. We've got, you know, 12 guys who are whistleblowers and that's it. Is the CIA, is the FBI, is the IC fixable, Mike Waller?
It's a really hard thing to say. The bureaucrats will do what they're told to do for the most part. And if so, you have something to work with, but it's not good at all. I think the FBI should be dismantled.
Yeah,
it should be. But we need a lot of the functions that it does.
Yes, but the functions they have, I mean, the big functions are counterintelligence. So that's catching spies. Yeah. That can be done by, you know, the DOD or, you know, another element. We've got interstate crime like bank robbery and kidnapping that could be done by the Marshals Service. And then we have counterintelligence that could be counterterrorism that could be done by maybe the defense intelligence agencies. So there are entities out there who could have the big mission sets parceled out to them, don't you think?
Yes. And there are really good, capable people in the FBI who can be transferred out there. But a lot of them are just, you would never want them anywhere near a gun or any law enforcement or intelligence role. So there are, you can break it apart and parcel out people and functions to other agencies. But the FBI itself, as the great Angelo Codevilla said, it's just a bureau. a bureaucracy.
And what about the idea that making it really just a bureau? I think he was on my show and I said, Steve, you've got to write this article. And I think he did in The Federalist. And he said, take away their badges and their guns. Make the FBI an investigatory bureau, like its name says. And if they want to arrest somebody, they've got to convince a local sheriff, a local chief of police, who's not a political actor for the DNC, and take away their law enforcement authorities. How about that idea?
That's a great idea, because then they can't be a political police anymore.
Right.
And if you push authority down to the state and county and local levels, you're returning power to the people, and you're still having the benefits of what the federal government might have and the expertise that they have, but they don't have the power to abuse people.
Yeah. Garrett O'Boyle, Carl Serafin, Steve Friend, all the rest of you, you are true heroes, true warriors for the nation. Michael Waller, thank you for doing such a service, a book that had to be written. Please get it right now. It is out. If you doubted the reality of the deep state, read the book, Big Intel. Oh my gosh, it's got some blurb by some chap called Tucker Carlson. You might have heard of him. The subtitle is How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. To be continued. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
So, a lot of things happened today. This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics. If you look at what we just left, you have a case which they're dying to get this thing started. The judge cannot go faster. He wants to get it started so badly. And there's tremendous corruption. You have Pomerantz, Mark Pomerantz. He was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Democrat National Committee's lawyer. He worked in Paul Weiss. He walked in and he took over the district attorney's office. Nobody's ever seen anything like that, to prosecute Trump.
It truly is a banana republic. That was President Trump yesterday in New York talking about the case against him, where, yes, Elena Hubby is right, there was a huge victory. The outrageous, the astronomical, the surreal $430 million fine that had to be paid in a bail bond before President Trump was allowed to appeal the first instance where there was no jury, where he wasn't allowed to make a case in front of that lunatic left-wing Judge Engoron, who on camera has admitted, well, yes, the laws say certain things, but I have my special tools. What are your special tools, Judge Engoron? Oh, now that there's been an appeal down to $170 million? What did the president say about how he's going to cash it, Eric? We have a very short cut. It's like something straight out of a movie. He was asked by one of the reporters as he was leaving. Cut nine. Play the cut. It's so good.
Thank you very much.
What's your collateral for the
bond? Cash.
What's the collateral for the bond? And he just turns around as he's walking away. Cash, that's my collateral. He is indefatigable. He is unstoppable. He is a Mack truck of freedom. But they are trying to take him out. They want him in prison or worse. Why? Because it's clear. If the election were free and fair and if occurred today, it would be a 49-state blowout, as it was against Mondale. They know that if this man comes back and he can only serve one more term, he doesn't have to compromise with anyone because he doesn't have to get reelected. Therefore, he will be able to drain the swamp once and for all. All the vested interests of the left, the open borders, the big tech oligarchy, hand in glove with the FBI, and now we know the CIA. The CIA that prevented the... What is the CIA doing preventing the investigation of Hunter Biden's business partner by the FBI? The CIA isn't allowed to be involved in domestic operations. It's against the law. Oh, but so was the doctoring of a CIA document by a DOJ lawyer, Klein Smith, who forged a document for it to say the exact reverse of what it actually said, and so impugn Carter Page, the Trump campaign volunteer, and so authorize an illegal surveillance against him. This has been going on for years now, and it's time for us to wake up. Police state tactics are alive and well in America. And if they can do it to that man, the most famous man in the world, and now, oh my gosh, I forgot. He's now with the incredible decision yesterday, the clearance for the merger of the SPAC and Truth Social. President Trump is going to make $4 billion, and Forbes has declared he will be one of the 500 richest persons in the world. Every time they try and come after him, they fail and they just make him stronger. I felt bad yesterday because I left the studio without sharing with you one of the most important stories I wanted to share with you. I got, you know, breaking news and my story of the lunatics I met in Portland and the Patriots I met in Portland on Saturday. Yesterday morning, my wife had to have some work done on our kitchen and just to fix something. It was a refinishing of a metal sheet, and an artisan came to our home. And Katie was dealing with him while I walked the dogs and got ready for things on Newsmax for the weekly show and for this show. And then an hour later, I come back into the kitchen, and this immigrant, turns out his name is Hector. I haven't even said good morning to him yet because he's been working. And he turns around and he says to me, "So is he going to win?" And I'm thinking, does he know who I am? Does he know what I did? And then I think, oh my gosh, there's a big yard sign outside our house. Take Back America, Trump 2024. And I say to him, "Well, I hope so. I'm Sebastian. Who are you?" I spent the next 20 minutes as he's waiting for the varnish to dry on this hood that he refinished, talking to my friend Hector from El Salvador, who loves America, who played kind of semi-pro soccer as a kid, as a teenager, as a young man, whose son, also Hector, is now going to play American football as a quarterback in college. He's got three other kids. And he just said to me, he didn't know who I was, he just saw the yard sign. He said, I don't know what's happened to America in the last 3 years. I can't afford anything. I can't buy the materials I need to do my job. let alone the gas to put in my truck. I live in Northern Virginia. It is an epically Democrat area with all the overpaid bureaucrats who've moved in here in the last 40 years. But let me tell you something. Hector gets it. He loves America. And he's an immigrant like I am. I don't want to tempt fate. But if Hector gets it, and if the polling we're seeing, if the trend lines from the primaries mean anything, Americans, wherever they were born, have had enough. My question to you is, what are you doing about it to make sure that President Trump stays out of prison and that we have a free and fair election? Every one of you, almost 4 million out there, have a role to play in securing the election, mobilizing your friends. Just put a yard sign outside your home so the Hectors of your community understand it's okay to want President Trump back, because otherwise you can kiss it all away. Fly the flag that says it all. I stand with 45, Trump 2024. When it comes to the sanctity, the sovereignty of our nation, put on the T-shirt that I believe is the most important thing we've ever put on our website. It's a photograph of that beautiful 22-year-old girl that we have lost because of Biden's open borders. And all it says is say her name, Laken Riley. Stand up for America. And let's claw back the greatest nation on God's green earth from those who are destroying it. Go to SebGorkaStore.com for all of our America First gear, Made in America, and my books. That's SebGorkaStore.com. And please support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com. We've only just begun.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.